In our epistle reading for today, John sees something amazing. He is taken up by the Spirit into heaven, and there he sees the very throne room of God. He hears the angels singing the praises of God. And there in heaven, he sees a scroll in the right hand of God. That scroll, sealed with seven seals, is the will of God, God's plan for the future until the end of all things. John is told that no one is able to open that scroll or to look into it or to break its seals except one. John also sees the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He sees the root of David. He sees the Lamb who had been slain. John sees Jesus Christ standing before the throne, and Jesus takes the scroll from the right hand of the Father, because he alone is worthy. He alone can open it. He alone can look into it. And through him, God's plan goes forward. Through him, we are being saved. But when Jesus takes the scroll from the hand of the Father in our reading, the scene changes. Now the four living creatures, the angels who are closest to the throne, those who are the throne guardians, and the 24 elders, the angels who surround the throne in a great circle, all of them begin singing a new song. They are singing the praises of the Lamb who was slain. And they say, starting in verse 9, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Heaven itself is rejoicing at what Christ has done. Because through him, sinners are being saved. Through him, a people have been ransomed for God. And through the blood of Christ, a new nation and a new priesthood from every tribe and language and people and nation are now serving God. The angels are not singing for themselves. They don't need to be saved. But they are singing about the greatness of what Christ has done. And how great, Christians, how wonderful it must have been for John to hear them singing on that day. But now the song swells. More voices join in. And John hears them all around the throne, all throughout heaven. A numberless host of angels, far beyond our ability to count. All of them joining together their voices and singing praises to the Lion of Judah, saying in verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." We feel moved when we hear a large group of people singing. How it must have been for John to hear all of heaven singing. To hear the great host of God magnifying Jesus Christ and proclaiming his glorious deeds. But the song expands one more time, and even more voices join in. We're told in verse 13, "I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.'" Heaven and earth are singing together. Everything in all of creation is joining in the song of praise towards God. The sun and the moon, the earth and the stars, the sea and the land, the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the voices of men, joining together to worship the Lord, all lifting up their voices as one. And the living creatures cry, Amen. How John must have felt, Christians, to see all of this and to hear all of this, to hear everything, singing praises to God, to see the angels falling on their faces, to join in the worship of the one who is and who was and who is to come. How exciting it must have been, how moving to see all of this in heaven. Why then, Christians, are we often so cold? Why do we not feel the same way that John did? How can we hear about the things that he saw and the things that he heard and yet not be moved at all? And I'm not just talking about this one particular passage either. Why is it that we are so indifferent to what we hear in the Word? Why does hearing things like Jesus being the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb who was slain, not move us all that much? Why does hearing that Christ has conquered sin and death not excite us all that much? Why do we hear that our sins have been forgiven and yet feel the same way that we did before? We should examine ourselves today, Christians. Ask yourself this question. Did the thought of coming to church this morning thrill you? Were you eager to be here, to hear again the good news of the gospel, to hear again that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Or was it more routine? Something that you came and did despite what you felt? Did hearing, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, move you? Did it bring you joy? Or was it just the same thing that we did last week and the week before? Why is it, Christians, that we so often feel nothing? Why are we not moved at all? Well, it's because we so often forget just how great the debt is that we owe to God. We so often flatter ourselves into thinking that it's really not that bad, that God saved me, yes, but he didn't have to do much to save me. I messed up a couple of times. Maybe I even messed up really badly a few times. But I'm not that bad. And the smaller that we think our debt is, the smaller Christ will seem in our eyes. And the smaller that we think our debt is, the less we will be moved when we consider what he has done for us. Jesus once told a parable to a Pharisee named Simon. A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon, for his part, answers rightly and says, the one who is forgiven more. He will be the one who loves more, because he knows how much he owed, and he knows how great the grace was that forgave him that debt, and he will love him the more because of it. Christians, so often we treat our debt of sin as if it's 50 or even less, when in reality it is millions upon millions, a debt we could never repay. Is it any wonder, then, that we are so indifferent? So what's the answer, then? Should I try harder to really make myself feel something this time? To move myself to feel less indifferent? To manipulate myself to feel what I didn't feel before? Is that the way out of this problem? Well, that's not actually the answer. Feelings are often fickle things. I can trick myself into feeling just about anything. And tricking myself into feeling something is not actually the answer to this problem. My coldness, my indifference, is a symptom of something far worse. What I need to do, Christians, is to realize the debt of my sins. I need to see my sin in all of its ugliness, to see it for just how great it actually is. I need to examine my life compared to the Ten Commandments, to consider just how far short I have actually fallen. I need to calculate my debt for what it actually is, with no excuses, with no exceptions. I need to come face to face with the depth and the reality of my rebellion against God, to have a lively sense of my sin. In other words, I need to think, and I need to listen to what God has to say about my sin. And then, when I see my sin for what it actually is, when I see just how big and how ugly it actually is, then I can look to Jesus and truly understand the greatness of what he has done for me. Then I will understand that Jesus was willing to forgive me, sinner though I am. Not just in a general sense, but specifically forgiving me for the things that I have done. When I see how great of a sinner I am, then I will see just how great Jesus really is. I will see that he can save even a sinner like me. When I see my sin rightly, I see Jesus rightly. And when I see Jesus rightly, in all of his glory, how can I not be moved? How can I be cold when I see the love of my Savior? How can I be indifferent when I see the depth of what he has done for me? The more I see how unworthy I am, Christians, the louder I will sing the praises of my God, joining together with the angels and all of heaven to sing his praises forever. When I see how unworthy I am, then I will cry out all the more, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." When I see just how great my sins actually are, then I will sing out all the louder, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." When I see just how great Jesus really is, I will sing all the more, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see the depth of our sins, so that we may see the depth of your love and sing your praises both now and in eternity. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.